This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Another item related to the State of the Union address last night, where President Bush said that he'd try to control better the costs of the federal Medicaid program for the poor. This week, 60 companies announced a plan to offer inexpensive health insurance to employees who don't have it. And the next day, a study came out showing that about half of the nation's 2 million annual bankruptcies are due to medical bills. In most of these cases, the study said, these people do have health insurance. Here's NPR's Patty Niemann with more.
It's been happening for several years, employers cutting health benefits and then raising how much their employees have to pay out of their own pockets for their health insurance. Employees are paying higher deductibles, higher co-payments, and bigger yearly payments for the overall insurance plan. So it's not a surprise that people are being bankrupted by medical bills, says Harvard researcher Dr. Steffi Woolhandler, who studied 1,700 bankruptcy cases.
We saw people who had good health insurance policies, who worked for major U.S. companies, who kept their insurance through an illness or accident, but were bankrupted anyway because the insurance didn't pay the bills.
Most insurers limit the type of care they'll pay for and the length of time they'll pay for it. In Woolhandler's study, one man had a serious knee injury and tore a lot of ligaments. Insurance paid for his surgery and hospital bills, but paid nothing for physical therapy. The patient accumulated $13,000 worth of bills and was bankrupted by it. The average family in the study of 1,700 families was bankrupted by expenses just under $12,000. And with employers looking at lower-cost, high-deductible health plans, deductibles ranging anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000, Woolhandler worries that bankruptcy looms for more and more people. Employers may be trying to force employees into more cost-effective health decisions, but Woolhandler says that's just bogus.
When you're seriously ill, the decisions in some ways are out of your hands. You go to the doctor and say, please help me. Do what you need to do to get me well. Once you're in the hospital, things start to happen that you really don't make decisions about. So all the smart decision-making in the world is not going to reduce expenditures on those people because they're quite sick and they're relying on doctors and hospitals to do what's best for them and save them.
Woolhandler says good insurance should pay for all medically necessary care and argues that deductibles and co-payments are arbitrary. Woolhandler is a steadfast proponent of national health insurance programs like the one in Canada and in most European countries. But Robert Moffitt, who directs the Center for Health Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation, says we don't need national health insurance. He says we need real insurance that covers catastrophic costs.
It's like having insurance that is very, very good on upfront costs. If I've got good teeth cleaning and I've got good eyeglasses, but I get myself really sick and I'm financially devastated by cancer or something else of that level of disease, and I'm not covered, I don't really have good insurance.
And Moffitt blames what he calls a lax system of regulation of insurance companies, as well as a failure to come up with a national consensus about the real purpose of insurance.
If there's anything that should be done in the United States, it's to make sure that when Americans buy insurance, they buy real insurance. And real insurance is designed to protect you against the financial devastation of catastrophic illness.
And Moffitt agrees with Woolhandler. Medical costs have to come down for most Americans, or else we'll just see more and more cases of medical bankruptcy. For their part, insurers criticize the study as superficial and suggest people explore other ways to secure their finances. I'm Patricia Naiman for Day to Day.